Well, as Leanne already said earlier on, we commence a new series today. You will see it there on the screen. More Than Enough. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, we read, God can bless you with everything you need, and you will always have more than enough to do all kinds of things for others. God can and will bless you with everything you need, and you will have more than enough. Well, as we commence this series, we, over the next 4 weeks, are going to be considering how we are recipients of a generous and faithful God, and how we in turn can live lives of generous people in all areas, in our service, to how we care for others, to giving to others, to giving to God. And today we're going to look at how we can have a godly balance in all of these things. Well, in my early days as a Salvation Army officer, right at the very commencement, some 21 years ago, I think, David and I were attending a seminar at the Geelong Conference Centre, a property that the Salvation Army owned down there, and there was a major who was talking to us about the importance of balance between ministry, family life, and all the things that were important. And I remember thinking, oh, she must know everything. She's a major. I was just a mere lieutenant at the time. I shouldn't say it like that. But now that I'm a major, I'm like, no, she probably didn't know everything. But, you know, she was emphasising really the importance of our and the value of our health and well-being and how we would balance ministry. And I thought to myself, oh, this is excellent advice. Here I am right on the cusp of this new adventure. I'm going to be the most balanced officer in the country. This was my goal, and I have tried over many, many years to accomplish this and have fallen short on numerous occasions and have been extremely frustrated when I don't achieve it. Fast forward some 17 years, and again I was with David and we were attending a conference or another seminar with Canadian pastor Kerry Newhoff. And I have a lot of time for what Kerry Newhoff has to say and write. And he says this, almost everyone you talk to is trying to lead a balanced life, but what if that's the wrong goal? Don't get me wrong, he says, I don't think that everyone should work 80 hours a week, but here's my struggle, he went on. I think in many circles in our culture, balance has become a synonym for mediocrity. Don't work too hard. Don't be intentional about your time. Just be balanced. He also said, here's what I've seen. Most of the people I know who have accomplished significant things are not balanced people. They're passionate people. They're passionate about their job, about their family, about their hobby. They're often even passionate about their nutrition and their rest. They love what they do. They love their job. They see it as a calling. They can't wait to get up in the morning and attack the day. Is everybody like that here? Yes, great. That's what we want to hear. But when I sat in this session that Kerry Newhoff was talking, where Kerry Newhoff was talking, I had to say that I almost found it freeing that I was being released from this unobtainable standard, if you like, of balance that I had been educated or encouraged to seek. But now I probably live in a bit of a tension of finding the balance between being balanced and not balanced. But, you know, I acknowledge that there are some areas in life, in my life, where I think balance is essential in order for me to live the way that God would want me to. And I want to share three things that I find are helpful for me in trying to be balanced and passionate at the same time. And the first one is this: balance in hearing and doing. In James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, we read, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." Do not merely listen to the word. For the last 2 weekends, I've spent, not this weekend, but the 2 weekends before, I've spent considerable amount of time watching basketball games. A couple of weeks ago, our son Josiah had a basketball tournament in Avoca, and so I was there on the Saturday encouraging him and cheering him on and giving some excellent advice from the sidelines. I'm disappointed he's not here this morning so you can see his face when I say this. He doesn't always appreciate my advice from the sidelines. And then last weekend, Dave was away at Collaroy with the Sydney Youth Band. And so Friday night, Josiah had a game that I went to watch. And then Sunday, he played at Kudos Bank Arena before the Sydney Kings game. The Salvation Army had a 3-on-3 team that played on the centre court there, which was great to be a part of that. And then I had to watch the Sydney Kings play. And I know that they lost, and I should have checked with Dave because I couldn't remember in the 9:30 who they actually played. But I, you know, did say to Josiah, if they just followed some of my advice, they might have actually won the game. But, you know, I like to think that I know a bit about basketball. I've been attending basketball games for 16 years. Our kids, 17 years, our kids have been playing basketball. And I can tell you so much about basketball, although Pete Carger could probably tell you more and probably tell you that I've got it all a bit wrong, but often I can tell you where the players should be standing. I can tell you how important it is to get rebounds, both offensive and defensive rebounds. And I can tell you about having to drive through the key. Some of you are looking at me as if I'm talking another language, but that's okay. You know, I can tell you that they need to press up sometimes, that sometimes they need to play this 2-1-2 defense, and sometimes they need to do a pick and roll. And, you know, they need to play a zone. There are so many things that you have to do on a basketball court. But when I go outside to play basketball with Josiah out in the front, and he's very grateful that that's not very often, sometimes I just go out there and rebound, it's clear that I actually have very little clue because I'm terrible at playing basketball. I know about it. I can read about it. I can watch it. But my balance between knowing about it and actually doing it is completely out. And therefore, nobody takes any of my coaching tips seriously. My children or the professionals that I yell at from the sidelines. And, you know, this can be the same for us as Christians. If we spend all of our time reading scripture, which we know is fantastic, listening to sermons, learning the Christian lingo or the Christian speak, and never putting any of it into practice, we'll be living Christian lives that are not balanced. The application of the Word of God is equally as important as the instruction. We need to be balanced in what we hear as well as what we do. It's a great thing to spend time in personal devotions with God. An hour of uninterrupted time in prayer and scripture for spiritual growth, for our relationship with Jesus, is so good for us, for our soul, for our future. And James may say to us, "Well done. Great work on doing that." But are you then putting that into practice? Are you living to the standards that you have just read about? Are your relationships different because of your time with God? Are you loving and serving others as Jesus taught us to do in the Word? Or are you living to the standards of the world? Similarly, if you are only spending time living and acting as a Christian, as a good person, perhaps even. We know lots of good people in the world who are not Christians, and we need more good people. But if you're doing that and not hearing, listening, reading, studying, spending time with God, this is not healthy either, and nor is it a godly balance. The second thing that I believe that requires balance of our time, balance is the distribution of our time. Right from the outset, I want to say that I don't believe that we spend equal time on everything in our lives. And we balance our time, don't we, according to our needs, our responsibilities, our families, and whatever else is going on in our life. And this changes in different seasons. You know, the word balance can be both a noun and a verb. And if we look at it as a verb, it can mean to put something in steady position so it does not fall. And I think that this is a fantastic definition to use for time for the things that are important to us. Perhaps it is your family. Perhaps it's your relationship with Jesus or your job. Perhaps it could be our hobbies, even our downtime. We need to put all of these things in steady position so they do not fall. If you don't give time to key relationships in your life, then you run the risk of them falling, failing, breaking down. If you don't give time to your rest and relaxation, then you can run the risk of collapsing physically, emotionally, mentally. All of these things that are important to us need to be held in steady position. Let's look to Jesus and the time that he spent here on earth ministering, those 3 years that we learn so much from his time when we read the Gospels. And I read an opinion piece or a blog during the week, and I said to someone in between the services, if you want to Google an interesting question, Google, was Jesus a balanced person? But I read that this person said he was not balanced at all. And I'm not here to influence you one way or another. You can form your own opinion of that. But he knew how to take care of himself. How many times in Scripture do we read where Jesus would take the time that he needed to recharge or to spend time with his disciples or to spend time with God? In Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, we read, "Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them," that's the disciples, "come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." And then in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, we read a similar verse. It says, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Not because he was lonely, but because he was trying to create space to take care of himself. He took the time he needed when he needed it to hold the things in his life in steady position. He made certain things a priority when he needed to. He unapologetically took care of himself and those who were closest to him. But finally, I want to talk about the balance in our finance. We heard earlier from Proverbs 30, and Lois read to us, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonour the name of my God. We don't want to live in poverty. Poverty and lack of finance is soul destroying on so many levels, and we see that here nearly every day of the week. People coming in, and through no fault of their own, they find themselves in a category that we might consider to be poor, although we don't use that language. But equally, we don't want to be so focused on money that it makes us greedy. There's a saying that says it's okay for us to have money and possessions, but it's not okay for money to have us. So what is the balance here? God, provide for me what I need. Make me content, maybe. In recent weeks, Dave and I have had quite a number of conversations about contentment. And in most part, it has been because of this woman who you can see on the screen, this lady here in the long dress. She is my mother-in-law. Her name is Glenys. Now, some of you may know that almost 2 years ago, we did a mad dash to Geelong for a few days because Glenys was given a 10% chance of surviving quite a significant health condition. Well, yesterday for the day, we went to Geelong to celebrate her 90th birthday, which was so good. There she is with her grandchildren. They have 15 grandchildren. Out of 4 children, that's pretty good, isn't it, if you want to do the maths? But if I ever want to be reminded of contentment, I think of Glenys. She has been married to my father-in-law, Wes, for 60 years, and they are very positive people. They never complain about what they have and what they don't have. They are happy, they are optimistic, they are blessed and content. And when I say they are blessed, although yesterday the word that she used a lot was grateful, they don't mean it in the same way perhaps that a Hollywood movie star would say that I'm blessed at the Oscars, you know, or somewhere else. They mean that God has given to them everything that they have needed in life and more. They are neither rich nor poor. They have faced challenges like we all do. Life has thrown them some curveballs, but they are content and they have all they need. In the Sermon on the Mount, one of the greatest sermons ever preached, Jesus is recorded in Matthew chapter 6 as saying, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." No one can serve two masters. So there is a balance of finances, balance of money that is required. But this balance isn't just about us and what we have. It also includes what we give back to God in our tithes and in our offerings. It also includes what we give back to God in our serving and our gifts and our talents. But do you balance your finances? Do you balance what you spend, what you give, what you save? And how are you doing that? Is it God honouring in the way that you do that? A few verses down in the same sermon, Jesus says to the people, and this is the Kylie Collinson paraphrase version, "Don't worry about your clothes. Look at the flowers. They are magnificent. Don't worry about what you will eat or drink. Look at the birds. They have everything they need. And likewise, God will provide for you what you need in life." Instead of chasing down these things and worrying and stressing about them, Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. If you want to be a balanced, passionate person, then I would say this is how you do it. You seek first the kingdom of God in everything, in who you are, in what you do, and everything he gives to you, you surrender and give it all back to him. And he is the one who will help bring godly balance into your life. You surrender it all back to him.